Jesus. I have such a sense that the Lord wants to just build into our faith this morning and to encourage us and to spur us on. And so, Father God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Lord, your word says, if any man lacks faith, let him ask. Lord, we ask you for faith this morning, Lord Jesus. Would you come and stir in our hearts, Holy Spirit, such a deep desire for more intimacy with you, for more intimacy of you as we hear, God, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, that it would stir in us a desire and a hunger and a passion for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name. I really felt I wanted to just end on that high because I'd love us to go into time of sharing because I felt that the Lord even wants to stir our faith even more as we hear the God stories, as we hear the journeys of what God has done and the thankfulness as we praise Him. So let's find our seats and we'll come back to worship afterwards. That's right. It is lovely to be together with you guys this morning, and I just have a real excitement and a sense that the Lord wants to impart faith into us as we hear stories of His. And I really do believe that. And this morning, as we come together, how much? Yeah, if you put it on, thanks, Jimmy. I think this morning, as we gather together, this is not just about one man sharing this morning, but today is going to be a time of testimonies, a time of just hearing the goodness of our God. And I always, it's always quite apt that we get to this time of the year where we look at the calendar and we know that for the first time we have Josh Jens in America, and they will be celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday and Black Friday on Friday. But I just do want to, so I thought in unity with the body and the greater body of Josh Jen, I thought we would take the morning to just really celebrate God and what He's done and to be really just take a moment to just hear of His goodness amongst the people. And I'm excited to hear some of your stories. We've got a couple of guys prepped and ready but I do want to just lay a little foundation before we go into it. So I'll try and keep it short because you know me, I can waffle. Yeah. Who was that? No one said I heard a yaw. No, but I know I can. But I really wanted to go because just in our testimonies, and as I was, actually I spent some time yesterday and Friday just going through scripture and meditating on certain scriptures. And there was one scripture that really jumped out at me. And I want to almost lay the foundation with this for this morning. And it's one we know well, we've heard it, we've read it, and maybe it's confused us. But it comes out of Revelation chapter 12, verses 11. And let's put it up there. Thank you, Heike, out of the NIV. Normally the ESV. But let's read it. They triumphed, and I prefer the word, they overcame, they were victorious. They overcame, they were victorious over Him. Who's Him? The Bible's talking about the devil, okay? Him, that's why it's a small little h, because he's not that important. The small little h, here we go. And they have overcome, they have conquered, they've overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, for they love their lives, not even to death. How many of you have read that scripture and been a little bit confused by it? Okay, nobody. Maybe, am I the only one? All right, I'm going to sit down and hand it over to someone else. I mean, in its straightforwardness, it looks pretty simple. But if you actually start to dig into this piece of scripture, there's a lot of meat in here. It's just one scripture. It's one line. But look at that. Like, how do we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony? Have you thought about that? How do we overcome? And that word overcome actually stems from victory. The root meaning of that word is victorious, victory, where we get the word Nike. Actually, Nike means victory. And the Greek word for victorious overcome is Nike. So that's, yeah, cool, eh? Pretty cool. Thought I'd just throw that in there. A little bit of it. The Greek word for victorious comes from. You've got a little bit of Greek in you, you're going to go for it, like me. Believe it or not, I am Greek. They conquered Him. They overcame Him. So they were victorious. It wasn't just a momentary thing. It was everlasting. It was victorious because the victor, he gets the crown. He gets the prize, and we spoke about eternity in the last week, and the prize that we're heading toward, the race is running towards eternity, so the victory crown is ours. is ours. We have overcome him, the devil. We have overcome the accuser of the brethren. That is his task. His mission is to nail us. And we have conquered him. Do you believe that, church? Can you get an amen? Come on. I'm gonna get fiery this morning. Good old Baptist coming out of me. Kind of thing. Come on. They overcame him. Firstly, by the blood of the Lamb. First, most important thing. The only way we can overcome the enemy is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The blood of the Lamb was shed for our sins, and every single one of us should have some measure of acknowledgement of that. If you have never acknowledged the blood of the Lamb or understand the Lamb and the reference there, we know that Jesus was the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. John the Baptist declared it when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." That's Jesus. So we know that the Lamb is Jesus. So the blood of the Lamb, by going to the cross, he died for us. And by the word of their testimony. Who's them? Us, yes. It's us. But here's, how many of you know it's not just the testimony of, I got saved and I now follow Jesus. Or Jesus did this and Jesus did that. That word testimony, how's this? Listen to this. The word testimony actually has its Greek root. It's also Greek because if I'm stand to be corrected, but Revelations was written in Greek. The Greek word for testimony is martyria, which is where we get the word martyr. And a martyr is one who bears witness to Christ through their death. It highlights that testimony is not merely verbally demonstrated through a life. It's not merely demonstrated through our verbal communication, but demonstrated through a life of unwavering allegiance to Jesus. Hey, so we think the word of, so suddenly it takes a whole new understanding, the scripture. So testimony, I think I'm going to just come and share my testimony, tell people about Jesus. No, it's that your life, you may die for Jesus. Who's willing to die for Jesus? Oh, okay, if you're not willing to die for Jesus, there's the door. Now, seriously, if you're not willing to die for Jesus, there's the door. Let's try again. Who's willing to die for Jesus? Hands going up all over the place. Come on. Now, that's the reality of this, because I think some of us has forgotten that actually we might have to die for Jesus. And that is our testimony. That is how we overcome the devil, being willing to die for Jesus. Being willing to give up our lives. And it not just means maybe in the flesh, but give up of our lives spiritually, like laying our lives down. Death. Death. The word says, take up your cross and follow me. Whoever holds on to his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will find it. Come on. This is the truth of Scripture, guys. Can we see the scripture in a different light now? Now, suddenly it's not just my little testimony. You know, guys, I was a smoker. I did drugs. I was sleeping around, and then I gave my life to Jesus, and now he saved me. No, it's more than that. It's the road he's put me on, the fact that I surrender every single day to him today, tomorrow, into the future. You know, I was so wrecked this morning. I bumped into a friend just on the way to church, and I almost never came to church because I thought, man, if this guy's going to get saved this morning, you guys can carry on without me. But he lost his son just under a year ago to a dreaded illness kind of thing. And he was sitting there, and he's still just he's still coming to grips with the fact that he doesn't know where his son is. He doesn't know where his son is. He said, "Can someone just give me a sign? Can someone just tell me?" And I had to look at him and say, "But I don't know, because I never knew your boy. He was off in boarding school, and you know, I don't know." I'm like, I want to try and phone people in that school and find out who knew him. Who were his friends? Did he ever give his life to Jesus at some point? Because he died at the age of 19 in his health, in his prime, and he was strong. He was fit. He was playing hockey on Sunday, and he was like dead by Thursday. Never knew. He wasn't like, I sat with his dad this morning, and I was just like, my bud, I don't know what to say. I can't give you a hope. The hope that I have is Jesus. He's my anchor. He's the one that anchors my soul. My hope is in eternity. And he says, "Well, I don't know if I believe in eternity. I don't know. Like, I don't want eternity." I was like, in my head, that's like almost blasphemous. But it's the his reality right now. It's like he says, you know, I just want, when I die, I just want it to end. Boop, over. And I'm like, can you imagine? And I can understand, because there's a pain and a hurt of what he's feeling and everything. It's just like having to wrestle with the loss of his son. I was like, man, I can't even begin to realize what you've gone through the last 6 months. But I hope that he finds, and my prayer is that he would find Jesus, that he would come to some place of solace. And even though he will probably go to the grave never knowing where his son went, that he makes sure that he knows where he's going. Because he won't be standing there with his son one day. He'll be standing there alone before Jesus, and he'll give an account for his own life. And that's for each and every one of us. We can't get into heaven based on somebody else's revelation. We have access to the throne room and to the heavenlies through the blood of the Lamb and our testimony, not Dave's testimony or Kian's testimony, on my testimony. The fact that I've given up my life for Jesus, the fact that I have chosen to lay my life down and serve him wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. So let that stir you, church. Let that stir you. And so we're going to hear some stories this morning, and I'm going to land it on that, because actually we could spend a whole morning talking about the power of testimony and everything. I mean, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, there's so much in that very concept of testimony. But I wanted to just drop that thing about the fact that it actually is a word rooted in laying down your life. I want to just, before we share, I want to finish on this scripture. It comes out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And let's put it up there again. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Are you ready? Can you give a good defense to anyone who asks you, because you have hope? And then it shows us how to do it with gentleness and respect. Not Bible bashing. I grew up with Bible bashers. I was a bit of a Bible basher in my day. I offended lots of people. I realized when I read this, I was doing it wrong. But to do it in love, in gentleness and respect to them. But they need to hear the truth, and I need to give a good defense. And so even this morning, and so the testimonies are varied. And so I hope I haven't like suddenly lifted the bar for this morning. But I'm excited to hear what God has done in lives. And so we might not get through everyone. There's about 11 or so or 12 folk that I have names of. But I'm excited just to hear what God has done. And I'm sure every one of us is excited to hear what God has done. So Dave, are you keen to come number one? Seeing you big and bold and you picked a seat. He normally sits at the back there, next to you guys in the back there. So he's up front and center, couldn't get away from it, really. So I want to pray firstly before Dave shares, because there is something in the power of these stories this morning. Our faith is going to be built. Our faith, and actually we're going to fall more in love with Jesus. That's the point of this. It's not to elevate anyone. It's to elevate Jesus. The point is to elevate Jesus this morning, to bring him glory and to encourage us in our faith and go, man, if he did it, then I can definitely can do it. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, that as we hear testimonies and stories of people's journeys, that Lord God, that you would just come and be glorified firstly, that you would be exalted and lifted up, and it wouldn't be about us and what we achieved or our talents or our anything, but it would actually be about the faithfulness and the goodness of a loving Father. And that we would be so encouraged, our faith would be stirred, and we would walk out of this place more in love with you, Jesus. Maybe knowing each other a little bit better, but more in love with you. I pray that in Jesus' name. So here's my proviso for the guys sharing. When I start looking at my phone, you know you're going on too long. Right. When I get up, then you better sit.
I'm suddenly very nervous now. Okay, so I want to read a scripture, and it's going to be a very short testimony because it's only this year. Okay, and Chad, because Chad says so. So I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, and I didn't bring my glasses, so forgive me. I'm reading from the Message. So it says, what actually took place in this? I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God. It didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. So I'm going to take it from just a quarter of this year. So I went into a bit of a rebellious state, which flowed over to my family. We never went to church. I didn't want to go to church. I was bored with church. I was bored with people. And in doing that, I also got sick, lost my voice, and blah, blah, blah. And we happened to visit Tundi on the Sunday. I don't know where she is. She's around. There she is. And lovely Tundi sat us down, me and my wife, and she said, "Where are you guys?" So I was in the state of, because I had no voice, so my wife answered everything. Yeah. Anyway, it boiled down to the fact Tundi said to us, "Well, come to church with me on Sunday, but you have to commit for 8 weeks." I was like, my wife was like, "Yeah." We came to church at Sunday morning, and we were sitting right over there in the second row. And we had worship. Justin preached. And there was a stage where I was going, "Oh, get on with it, please." And then Chad, there was nothing wrong with the preach, don't get me wrong. I was just bored. And then Chad stood up and he started praying and he started ministering and he kept looking at me. And I was like, "No, no, no, I'm not going to look at you." And it was a moment of down, up, down, up. And then there was this moment of, you know what, stuff this. Excuse me, sorry. I'm going to the front because I need to get my life right. Fast forward a couple of weeks. We walked out of this building and we went and sat at Panarottis and I looked at my wife and I said, "I think we found home." So fast forward a couple of weeks and we were having communion Sunday and we were sitting just around the corner there. And again, something that Chad said that Sunday morning hit hard, and it hit hard, very hard. And I looked at Tanya and I said, "I need to be baptized." Sorry. Not thinking that that Sunday afternoon I'd be baptized, but anyway. But it was good. Core was there. Chad was there. Some other people were there. Tanya was there. For the first time I came out the water thinking, wow, there is literally no more shadow that I'm living under. And I'm actually free. Free? Come here.
That's so cool. Logan, come.
Hello. So we've only been in the church for about 8 or 9 months now. And before we joined the church, I was in a really bad place. Emotionally, and the people at school were causing a big part of it, which was contributing to my major anxiety and panic attacks, which is never fun. But since we've joined Josh Jen, my life is completely different. I've changed like tremendously. My anxiety has gone down. I don't have any more panic attacks. Once I left my old school and started a new school, I realized I was becoming distant from the people at school, which because they weren't leading in the same direction I was. And then after the second week, I started noticing I was becoming closer to this amazing family, which I realized it helped with my anxiety. every single one of you has, it's put a calmness on my heart. And I feel safe here with everyone here. 3 weeks, and then even when we went to 412, there was a bit of anxiety before with it, but I prayed about it a lot. And then when we got there, like I even said to my dad, I can already feel, before it even started, I knew this was going to be an awesome 3 days. And I definitely learned a lot over those 3 days about this, which was very cool. And then just over those 3 days, also noticed how loving and caring everyone is. It's just how everyone can come up and check on you, even though if you don't know them that well, they'll still come up and check on you and see how you're doing. And even when, sorry, this is like jumping around. Even when I was in my old school, I had to hide myself. I couldn't be who I was, which I had to put on a different identity to see so that I would fit in. And now, since I've left my old school, I know that there's no turning back, and I'm excited to see what there is for me in my walk in faith.
Well done. Yeah. Love it. Love it. I tell you, Desi, you're crying. I love this family. You guys, it's just been so beautiful to see what God's been doing in you guys. And I mean, I put him on the spot last week to come and pray. He's like, no, not yet. So well done. That's a miracle, hey? You ask his mom and dad. Him standing up here and sharing is an absolute miracle. And I realize that as much as, you know, we serve an incredible God that works in our hearts and that. Like, I love that scripture. And it says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. And these are those moments when the Lord sets us into family. And there's something safe about family, hey? We can be real, most. We can cry and we can tease each other and we can joke. And no one feels like scum, you know? Like that's what family's about. That's incredible. Yoannick. Where's Yoannick? Come.
Hello. So I haven't really prepared anything. I'm just going to try and go. So from a young age, I've been homeschooled, and at our old church, we didn't really have people my age that much. So I've always gone to other places, especially gymnastics, for friends, if I can say it like that. So, and they're not really Christian. I've always tried to bring them to church to be Christian, but like, that hasn't really worked. And I didn't really have friends, so they would always backstab me, turn me. They would always, like, one day they would like me, and then the next day I'd be a complete stranger that they would not, like, completely ignore. Sorry.
Doing great. Doing great.
And and most of you guys know about the Portugal thing that happened before the whole incident of the hospital thing. I went with my gymnastics friends, so my coaches, everyone that was there. And there would always be cliques, if I can say it like that, or groups and stuff. I would always try to go to a group, and then I would always be like pushed away. I wouldn't fit in anywhere, and that would break me because I would always thought that there was something wrong with me. I needed to change. I needed to be better. And so then the whole incident about the appendix and stuff happened. I was in the hospital after the operation, and I was laying in bed, and I think the whole church sent me a message, each one of them, and it just brought me so much joy, and I realized that when I was in the hospital, no one of the people that was with me in Portugal sent me a message. No one was there. So the people I've known almost my whole life, no one sent me a message. And the whole church sent me a message. And it was like, but it was so good. And then at 4:12, I'm so glad I went because God really worked in my heart. And he just showed me what amazing family he put me in, and who my real friends are and my real family are, and that I was never alone because I always have him. I'm not alone because I have the church now and still him, and I'm never going to be alone.
Oh. You know, yeah, things of this world we can't take with us, eh? But yes, we serve an amazing God. Should I read that scripture again? He adds the lonely into family. He adds us into family. Oh, Jesus. I love these moments where we just get to celebrate his goodness and his faithfulness. There's a scripture I want to read quick. Chronicles says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds amongst the nations. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done." And I think that for me is, in a sense, what we're doing this morning is this moment of going, can we scream it from the rooftops, what the Lord has done? What the Lord has done. We have so much to be thankful for. And I know in America they celebrate Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. And it's all got to do with their history and all that other stuff and junk or whatever kind of thing, which is really irrelevant in the light of eternity. We have got so much more to be thankful for. So much more. So much more. Corin, where are you?
I'm really thankful to God this morning that he's a good, good father. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So God is really good. And we don't deserve it. He's very kind and gracious. I'm really loved, and he's with me. And he has prepared me for everything, and even for this. And on June the 9th, it was a Sunday, and we were asked to come forward to confess or to bring things or to lay things down. And I came forward, and I confessed of being critical. And I asked God to help me with that. And Mimi and Lynn was praying with me, and Mimi said to me, "Corin, I think like you need to have a picture so you can remember this day, so God can help you through this." And I said to her, "God already gave me a picture, because while you were praying for me, he showed me a mountain, and it was a huge mountain, a beautiful mountain, and there were flowers and trees, and there's lots of paths to walk, and the mountain is called Grace, and that's his mountain of grace." And June 10th, the following day, I got a phone call, and it was my dad. He had he'd fallen off a mountain and he died. And I'm so grateful for this family around me, because everyone just prayed for me and came around me and brought me flowers and came for visits, and And my own family also encouraging me and praying with me, and them also going through it. And then we had a ladies' meeting. And this whole time I've had this picture of my dad lying in the water beneath because he fell into a lake. And just the blood around him, and it was an awful picture. But then at the ladies' meeting, we were praying, and God gave me a picture of him taking my dad's hand. And he was actually, my dad didn't fall. It was his body falling, but Jesus was walking on with him. So actually, 2 weeks before he fell, he WhatsApped everyone he knew, us including, he loved sending WhatsApps to all people in his contact. And he sent this poem, but he never really acknowledged the Lord. We grew up Christian, and we prayed before meals, but he would send on different things, but he never sent. So this was, he sent this on 2 weeks before he passed. The Lord once stood by the shore. He was looking for people ready to follow him, to catch hearts, God's words with truth. O Lord, it was you who looked upon me. Thy lips today have pronounced my name. I leave my barge on the shore. I'll start a new fishery with you today. O Lord, it's you who have looked upon me. Thy lips today have pronounced my name. I leave my barge on the belly. I'll start a new fishery with you today. Today we sail together to fish on the seas of human souls with the net of thy truth and the word of life. So this was my dad's message to us, saying this is where he's going, and there's still work to do. So, yeah, I'm really thankful for all of you. I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful that he comes and he gives us peace. He walks through the valley of death with us, and he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us.
Yeah. Awesome. I didn't get a hug. Gotta give hugs. Kyle, where you but come.
How's it, guys? Just want to read you this one verse, which is the part of it. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I was trying to think of something that happened quite recently, like new manna and all that, but like this is one thing that's been mulling over in my head. It happened quite a few years ago. Long story short, it wasn't really like a house growing up where I was, and there usually was a few things that happened. And one night I was quite young, and there was problems between my mother and her husband, and they fought, and she left her house, and like I had to go look for her. And it was like late at night, and I was young, like 13 or so, and believe it or not, I wasn't always this big. So it was quite scary, like walking out in the streets and like not knowing where she is, and there was a bar quite close. Like ahead of the street, there's a few oaks coming towards me, and like you just get the sense that, you know, this doesn't look like a. So I see there's a car dealership close to me, and I just get the idea, like run, duck in between the cars and hide there, and like just, yeah. And I went, and it was terrifying, and like they hunted, but God is for you, and if God is for you, no one can stand against you. Like he delivered me, like I swear to God, he blinded them. Like they couldn't find me, and I could get out of there, and I could find my mother. And like we can so easily ask and question God, like why the valleys, Lord? When you are so strong and able to deliver, why don't? But rejoice in the valleys. Give thanks in the valleys, because on the peaks you see his glory, but in the valleys you see his heart, how he contends for you, how he fights for you, how he's jealous for you. Like he makes our feet like deer's, and he delivers us out of the snare of the fowler. Don't put your Lord in a box.
I I tell you, it's been such a joy seeing you just mature in the Lord, Carl. Yes, but I tell you, when you first arrived and just like this brokenness about you and just this closeness and just to see what you become in the Lord, the boldness, the courage that you have to step out and not be afraid to declare His love. So I really just trust that the Lord will continue to keep you, that His hand will be strongly on you, that you would know the love of the Father more than ever before, because He is a good, good Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you, bud. He loves you. Yo, Ruthie, vast ye? Is that finger heavy?
Morning, guys. Where to start? So I feel like this year the Lord has really shown me, He's stretching me. I spoke about it Wednesday, and I said, I feel like, you know the slime that the kids play with? I feel like He's stretching me like the slime. And this year He showed me a lot that I have to look inside of myself and focus on the things that I didn't necessarily look at. It was at the ladies' meeting, actually, when we had to come up front and just lay everything down. And I was like, Lord, like, I laid these things down. Why must I lay them down again? And it didn't make sense to me. Like, I laid them down. I brought them to you. And He said, no, my child, you didn't work through them. I didn't work through them with you. You tried to work through it on yourself. And I felt those old wounds coming back. And I was so hot because, like, Lord, I just went through these things. I don't want to repeat these things again. And I think it was 2 weeks ago when Chad spoke about coming forward and pushing through the crowd. And I was so scared, but I felt like this burning sensation, like, just go to the front, just go. And I laid it all down. And I was in such an awe of God's face. Sorry. And just seeing who He is and how far He's brought me. And actually that Sunday afterwards, I had quiet time with Him, and then He showed me this, and it goes like this. Yahweh, we love you. Yahweh, we love you. How sweet your love is. Oh, is the taste of honey on my lips as I read your words so clear as morning sun. Yahweh, we love you. That peace feels like a rushing waterfall. Oh, how sweet and refreshing is your name. Oh, how so glorious name comes to rest in my presence. Enter in me, come over me, shake me up, more of you, fill me up with more of you. More of you, God, let me run into others. So others, oh, how it excites me to say your name, to shout your name, to tell others of your name, Yahweh. And I just want to say that the Lord is so, so wonderful, and His hand is so amazing, and how far He's brought me, and how far He is still going in me and working in me. I'm so excited to see what the Lord has in store for all of us and for me.
How's this? Mark chapter 5, verse 9 says, go home to your people and report to them the great things the Lord has done and how He has had mercy on us. Hey, come on. Go and report to the people. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Hanku, I'm going to come share, buddy.
Good morning, everyone. So I've been a child of God since I've been in school. And then, life happens. You start doing stuff and things just start changing. So in 2018, I actually start questioning God. Like, you do this for me, and then I will do that. And, stuff happens. And then He started giving me to the devil, in a sense. And then stuff will just start taken away from me, up to a point where I can feel like, okay, what can you still take away from me? And then He said, okay, I'll take your family away. So that happened. I went on a plane to Pretoria, been there for 3 weeks. And then I thought, no, it can't be like this, and I came back. And then I ended up going to Rian and Yolandi on the Thursday. And he's got a saying sometimes when he's actually really getting a bright idea, where he's saying, alas, tomorrow is Friday. Are you going to join me to go to the men's meeting? I said, okay, let's do this. And that's when everything starts changing, where God really have me at a point where you've got nothing now except me. And then he started doing stuff in my life. With the whole family thing, when I speak to my ex-wife now at this point, that I want to see my kids and I want to speak to them and stuff, and then she always will say, they don't want to speak to you, they don't want to see you. And then I just really started praying and say, God, you're the only one now. You're the only one that I have in my life. And you're the only one that can help me. And then things start changing. And Leandre, my boy, sitting there, he's the first one that came here. And then he said, but yes, I like this. I want to come every day. And then the youngest one, still at this, but that point, he really didn't want to see me. He was just broken up. And I just kept praying for my family, my wife, and my kids and stuff. And then the one day, she says, okay, right, he's ready. He can come to me for the weekend. And then he came to church. And then he said, I'm going to tell mom that we must come every day to church. And then I knew, but God is really in control. But at that point, I basically had nothing, like my suitcase with my clothes in. That's what I got. No job, nothing. So then the Monday morning, my brother called me up and said, listen, I had an insurance claim. I hit my gate with my vehicle, and the insurance sent a guy from Cape Town to come and fix the gate and do the thing. But he's actually looking for someone to open the branch here. Can he come and speak to you? So I said, okay, I've got nothing to do. He can come and see me. So basically, within 1 hour since that phone call, the guy came, he saw me, spoke to me, and say, okay, let's do this. And there I've got a job. With a vehicle that I can travel around, and surprisingly, which is like totally, totally amazing, he's renting a house for me that I can stay in. So I'm sorted. So I want to leave you guys with Romans 8, with 16 to 7 to 18. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet, what we suffer is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. And that's how I felt. Like, there's one song that one of the guys in Bethel just sing, Raise Hallelujah, where it's basically you praise God in your sufferings. And that's what the only thing that I could hold on to is just keep praising God, because one day he will come through to me. And to be here with all of you guys, it's like the blessing that God has given to me.
Can I just have a few men just come stand with me? Rian, I just want us to pray for this guy, because this is a testimony in the making of a God who reconciles and restores. And so why don't the rest of us, Leandre, come stand with your dad. Is your other Leandre? What did I call you? Leandre. And your Buddha is the other Buddha's niece of Panache. But Lord, why don't we reach out our hands to these guys? Because this is a testament in the making. And Lord God, we do stand together with Hanku here. And Lord, we trust in you for continued supernatural miracles, Lord. And for his ex, Michelle, Lord Jesus, we pray for her right now, Lord Jesus, that she would have a revelation of you, Lord God. And even as there's been so much, in a sense, water under the bridge and so much stuff has gone down, Lord, we know that nothing is impossible through you. Nothing is impossible through you, Lord Jesus. And so we stand together and ask you, God, for a new, fresh revelation for her and for this family and a continued miracle, Lord God, where we would one day just see them reconciled as a family unit again. That is the hope we have, Lord Jesus. That is the hope we hold on to, Lord God, that you would restore and reconcile in Jesus' mighty name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And just even for the rest of us, even as we see this moment, you know, men gathering around him, that we would continue as men to draw around those that are going through things and through struggles and say, bud, we've got your back. We're going to hold you up in prayer. And let's not just say it in, like, let it just be in our lips, but let it be in our actions, in everything we do. So be bold and courageous in Jesus' name. Amen. But I've got to get a photo of you and stand next to Dan quickly. Did you get the memo? That's so cool. Tandi, you need to come share my friend. Tandi.
It's been a tough year, but God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. My testimony of Thanksgiving is about a loving God. It's about accountability, vulnerability, and freedom. So on the 5th of January this year, my mom died after a long fight with cancer. And we were grateful that she was no longer suffering, but yeah, no, we were super sad. I was super sad. And it just brought like this, almost like heaviness, this burden. I felt very burdened, and I was trying very hard to tread water, to keep afloat, but there were days when I just couldn't get it together. Work wasn't going well. Home wasn't going well. I was making some really poor choices and poor decisions, even though I was in a loving, loving community that kept saying, we want to come around you. What do you need? Where are you at? And I just couldn't express. I didn't know. I mean, you guys know me. I have lots of words. I just didn't have them. I didn't know what to say. And then my health was really suffering. My mental health, my spiritual health, my physical health, everything was going to pits. And had a conversation with Cora and Gracie, because I was in their com at the time. They really are amazing friends to me, and I really love them deeply. So I had long conversations with them and had a conversation with Knowles, and I was just like, also a very loving friend. And I was like, I'm really just struggling. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it. And so Cora and Gracie were like, just come into rehab for a little bit. Stop traveling. Your family's struggling. You're struggling. Your health is struggling. The work you're doing is just not bearing fruit. Actually, it is bearing fruit. It's just bearing bad fruit. The decisions you are making, the choices you are making are bearing bad fruit. And you need to come into rehab for a little bit, come into family, come be loved upon. I wasn't on drugs, guys. Rehabilitation is also... Unless if you count sugar, I'm still fighting that one. I'm still fighting that demon. Then there was the deliverance thing, and I just went to Cora and Gracie, and I was like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff here that I'm carrying, and I just don't know there is stuff. Got some friends around. Cora is a very pragmatic guy, like man of action. Get some friends around, speaks to Chad, speaks to Justin was there, Nolan was there, and they prayed for me. Nothing exciting, nothing to write home about, no splattering of water, just prayer, just loving the Lord and saying, the truth must come out, the lie must die. The truth must come out, the lie must die. So the scripture I got that night was 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. By his divine power, Justin read the scripture. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Amen. Then we went into Angela's book, and the first chapter was exciting. The second chapter was a lot. And then chapter four, I walked away. I was just like, I can't. These pegs are too much. Can't deal. Can't cope. Because a lot of the stuff that was brought up in the prayer meeting came up again about illegitimate things, about being a people pleaser, about wanting to be this mighty fine Christian. You know, how you doing, girl? Mighty blessed. And I was struggling to be mighty blessed this year. I was like, oh, no, I don't know. How are you doing? And I would just vomit real junk about what's happening in my life because I couldn't even discern who to share with and who not to share with. My boys were suffering. And they were just really bearing the brunt of my bad decisions. So, godly friends. So, the Lord has been speaking to me. It's fresh manna every day. Godly friends are better than family that you are born into in the natural, because blood is thicker than water. And by blood, I mean the blood of Jesus. And Chad says that, God, hallelujah. That's my new comm leader. I've upgraded from core. Hallelujah. Because God elevates us, you know. So I've been blessed in this year with godly friends. He's made me so open to correction and open to being loved and open to help and asking for help. Help. And open to prayer. And that's just been such an incredible, incredible thing in my life that now that I can ask for help and go, help, prayer comes. And then I'm held up and I'm loved. I'm still learning to be consistent in my walk with the Lord because I've realized, ooh, in the time that I've been saved, it's really been an erratic journey. It's like a heartbeat. And one of the things Chad said to me is, ask the Lord to be the Lord over your emotions. I was just like, And he says, because then you won't be doing this. Then you'll be doing this, and you'll be more consistent in your health, in how you show up for your children, for the body of Christ. You will not be the person who's very high highs and very low lows. And that's the only thing I've ever known. That's been my whole life. Still a journey, being consistent, and still learning to be self-disciplined, walking it out in community. Good luck to Trevor and Esther and everybody around me. In Jesus' name, amen.
I tell you, I just want to, like, you know, when God takes someone and does something in their heart, and, the thing I've loved about Tony, because we've known him for a long time, and just as God has softened your heart, I remember sitting down one evening, we were chatting and working through some stuff with her, and she shared some stuff, and it shocked me what she shared with me, and I just said to you, Tony, I don't know if I would have done that. And I must be honest, within a week, she undid all the bad decisions she had made in that moment and just surrendered. Boop. And I was like, did that just happen? Like, because sometimes it's like a struggle to rest because it's like, because I wasn't telling her what to do, but I was saying, I don't know if I would have made that choice. It doesn't feel like that's what God's asking of you. I wasn't coming, you got to do this, you got to do that. But there was something in her response in that moment that was so beautiful where I saw the Lord just take this woman who was looking for her love in the wrong place and just suddenly was able to direct it to her Heavenly Father again and go, poof. And I think that for me was a very defining moment that evening. I'm sure you'll remember it. So well done, Tundi. Well done. Yo, it's been beautiful. There are We are running, but I do want to just finish off on Colin and Nick's, because I think your testimony goes together in a sense. But maybe Nick's can share. You can start, and then I'd love once we've done. I know there were one or two more, but I think I'm gonna drop it there. You guys, I know they're leaders. They understand. They're mature about that. But I'd love for us to, out of this thing, go in a time of praise and worship again, and at a time of just giving thanks to the Father for what He's done. This is a moment to celebrate. We've heard some beautiful testimonies, some incredible stories, and I know there are many of us with you're right. You're strong. And many of us have got a story, have got a testimony. Don't file it into the back and forget about it. Keep it fresh, because God's adding to it all the time. Even some of us have got some stories, and God's still adding. I think of your journey. God's still adding. God's still adding. Hanku, God's still adding. God's still adding. More and more. Yeah, and it was the scripture that we read. Before, that Dan actually had, and I want to read it quickly to us. It's in Thessalonians chapter 1. Sorry, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing." So there's an encouragement to the body. Carry on doing. But then he says that you do so more and more. More and more. That it doesn't just stop there, that the Lord is doing more and more, that you would be encouraged, and that you would, your faith would grow more and more and more. I'm going to come stand in the middle of it.
I think I maybe need my husband. So firstly, to Dan, there's always a title. And the title to my story is a personal story that's not about me. So my year started actually over 2 years ago, where I started getting headaches. They first classified it as migraines. It was quite bad. I started going on medication and went from doctor to doctor and specialist to specialist. And the headaches just started getting worse. And if I can just give you a small description of what those headaches are, or were. They were like pressure around my head that just went tighter and tighter to the point that my body couldn't handle it anymore. I would fall to the floor crying, aching, looking for relief. I couldn't lie down. Lying down made it worse. I was on very strong medication. It got to a point where I went to a neurologist, and she diagnosed me with something that was a very bad diagnosis. I went home, Googled it like everybody always does, and Google told me, and everybody that shared about that illness said they went for surgeries, they went on this medication, that medication, but it always comes back. There's nothing, there's no cure, there's no hope for it. And I just didn't have peace. I ended up in hospital again, so obviously the medication from the neurologist didn't work. And I went back to her, and she's like, "No, but it must be this range of things." So she referred me to a pain specialist, and he gave me 15 injections in my neck, where they actually, it wasn't under sedation, it was actually looking for reactive nerves. So it was so painful, but knowing what the other side of that pain looked like, I just pushed through. I hold Colin's hand so tightly, he was almost crying. But it was bad. And it went from once a month to bi-weekly to the point where every time it happened, there was almost no recovery time before the next time happened again. So it was, we prayed. We really did pray. My children prayed. If I woke up in the morning with a headache, so-called headache, and I looked at the worry at in my husband's eyes, and my children praying, "Thank you, God, please heal mommy." It was tough. it took me to very dark places. Hoping for just another day with my family, hoping just to live, to see the mountains, to spend quality time. It was really tough. So it happened again the one day, and we wanted to go to a hospital, but the neurologist was in Cape Town. So Colin decided to take me to Baby Hospital. Got there. Immediately they had me on the ER bed and all the drips and everything going, trying all kinds of opioid heavy meds just to break the pain. And I looked over through the pain and I saw my husband trying to explain to this doctor what's going on. And he just shakes his head. He's like, if it's not this, if it's not that, then he doesn't know. So the pain meds is not helping. The doctor doesn't know. He can't admit me because there's no beds in the hospital available. So now he wants to send me back to George, and I'm in all this pain. So they phone the hospital in George, and they also didn't have any beds available. And we were just done, hoping for the next specialist and the next specialist and the next specialist. Colin said, this is it. He takes me home. He puts me to bed. He started praying. He had everybody on call, from Dan and Renee to everybody in comm. Everybody was praying, but not, dear God, please heal Nikki. They were in warfare. My husband was in warfare. He prayed prayers that I've never experienced in my life. The pain subsided, and I fell asleep. The next day, I woke up. And I was recovering. There wasn't pain. I was recovering from all the meds, yes.
That took a week.
So I was without pain for another day, another week. And it got to a month, and I'm like starting to get a headache again. I'm like, oh, we prayed. I'm healed. This is not it. And Colin's like, no, Nikki, it's just the enemy is trying to trip you up to believe something that is not the truth. The truth is you are healed.
Amen.
So the pain went away. And it was another day, and it was another week, and it was another month. And that 1 month turned into 2 months. And the 2 months turned into 3 months. And I am healed. I am healed. And one thing that I learned, that my husband was so strong for me. I'm so thankful for him. And he said, illness is not from God. Like sin is not from God. As we turn away from sin, we get freedom from it. So we turn away from illness because it's not from God. He is real. He is faithful. And he is the healer, not the people. He can use people, but our healer is God. And now I can live my days with my boys. I can see the sunrise. I can go for walks. And I can share with the fireflies in my community. And I'm thankful for all of you and all the prayers.
Can maybe just share one last thing on that. So one of the things that I was really challenged on in this journey was that I had always had a real sense of, I'd seen God move miraculously many, many times before this. And I was so challenged in my faith because I was like, I'm praying for her. We're praying for her. And nothing's happening. I think we have that sometimes. And I think what was so beautiful was how there was a persistence. And I remember there was a day here in one of the meetings, about a week, probably about a week before the final sort of moment, where I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to contend. You need to contend for this. So I said, okay, Lord, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, how do you contend? And it was contending for the truth. It was contending for the fact that there is a loving Father who doesn't want us to live in pain. He doesn't want us to live in these spaces, specifically things like sickness, specifically. Because, you know, it's the fall. It's part of the fall, you know. Yes, in heaven we'll have perfect health. And yes, we will still get sick. And yes, things will happen. But this was literally destroying her life, you know. And it wasn't from God. And the more we spend time in it, we're like, Lord, we're kind of contained for it. And in that moment when we prayed, when I prayed and when everyone was praying, that was the thing the Lord really challenged me on, was in the same way that we move and turn from sin, we turn 180 degrees from it and we look at Jesus. And I was challenged for her and for us, was in that same way, we're gonna deal with the sickness. We're gonna say, we're gonna turn in the opposite direction. We're gonna look to Jesus, no longer to someone or something that's going to help us, but we're gonna look to Jesus. And when we did that, there was healing. And I'm so thankful to the Lord and thankful to this family. You guys really came around us. It was so beautiful. And we really felt family. You know, we had people come and give us food when, you know, when we needed help. We had Renee come and help my kids with school, like here and there, where I couldn't even get to that. You know, we had people trying to say, how can we help? How can we get in there? And that's family. And that was so helpful. We wouldn't have been able to make it through that season without that. So thank you.
Cool. Why don't we worship together? Can we get the musos up front? And just really, you know, we never know why God does things and why sometimes He heals and sometimes He doesn't. But the reality is that we serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. I think for me, the key thing that I want to take out of what Colin said there is not to give up trusting in God. Don't give up. If you're trusting in God for a touch or a healing or something, breakthrough, whatever it is, don't give up. Don't give up. Even if you go to the grave and He still doesn't come through, don't give up, because your reward is eternal. He may decide to heal you, and I'm so encouraged that He, in His grace and mercy, He did touch Nikki and heal her. But if not, will you still persevere? Will you still persevere? And I think for me, that is so important. You know, like every one of us, the stories have been beautiful, and I want to commend each one for sharing, for your boldness, your courage, and thank you. Thank you very much. But for those of us who're still in this place where we're still trusting in the Lord for something or whatever it might be, do not give up. He is the God of hope. He is the God that gives. He restores. He reconciles. He brings us back to Him. And so even this morning, as we just close in a bit of worship and just giving of our praise and honor and thanks to Him, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have followed Him at some point but you've turned your back on Him, this morning you've heard the stories. This morning there's an opportunity for you to come to Jesus. I'm standing up front here. Come tap me on the shoulder while we're worshiping, and I want to pray with you. But don't go home without encountering Jesus. Do not leave this place the same person that you were when you walked in, because you may tragically go in that moment without even expecting it. You might be hit by a truck. You might contract some hectic disease and be hospitalized and slip into a coma like that young boy did. I mean, literally, he was fine. He was fine on Monday night. Tuesday morning, he didn't go to school because he was feeling a bit sick. But Tuesday night, he was hospitalized. By Thursday, he was dead. He didn't plan for that. He didn't ask for that. You cannot know when your time is. Make sure you are ready and you can stand righteous before Jesus. He wants to clothe you in His righteousness. We look at the story in the new in Genesis, where man had sinned and had chosen to step away from what God had. He suddenly realized he was naked. He suddenly had this revelation that, oh, again, I better cover myself because Jesus is coming. And so the Bible tells us how they sowed fig leaves. Him, Adam and Eve, they sowed and covered themselves with fig leaves because they thought that they could cover their own sin, their own mistake. They felt that what they would do was sufficient. But when God arrived in the garden that night to come and commune with them, He called for them. and they hid themselves, even in their own covering of their with their own fig leaves, they still hid themselves. Have you ever seen that? They were still ashamed. And Jesus, in his love and mercy, then took them and said, "Let me make clothes for you. Let me make something for you to wear." And in that moment, there was this picture of what Jesus would do one day, that Jesus would come to the cross and die for our sins, take every sin. He would be the one that would cover our sin. He would be the one that would take away the fig leaves, and he would cover us with his robe of righteousness, giving us free access into heaven. We just need to accept him. We need to come and repent and confess our sins to him, receive his love, receive his forgiveness, and know that he's just and merciful. The Bible says he is just and merciful to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Because we don't deserve his righteousness, but he gives it freely. But we need to ask him. And so don't think you've got it all right. Every one of us have messed up. Dave's opening lines kind of thing. I messed it up. I hardened my heart. Don't harden your heart towards Jesus this morning. If you're standing here and you need him, come and find and meet the one who wants to set you free and set your feet on a solid ground.